This morning will be basically the beginning of the capstone of our missions conference. We'll have a lesson this morning. Brother Seth Richards will come and share some things with us about faith promise. Let me say this to all the teachers. You should have had your faith promise cards within your packet. And just hold on to them right now, I guess, if you haven't passed them out yet. And don't fill them out until after the end of the Sunday school hour. And so then we'll pass those out. You'll pray. You'll put in an amount. And that's how we will budget for the next year. When I was thinking about what the church can do with the Javed family, you know, my thoughts were, okay, what's our income going to be for our missions budget? Because I want to be able to maintain what we're doing right now, which is we are giving each missionary that we support and or, excuse me, their ministry, like the children's home in Mexico, we give each of them $100 a month. And I'm very thankful to the Lord and to you that we've been able to maintain all that during COVID and when the offerings, the bottom dropped out. A lot of people didn't realize that, you know, expenses went on during COVID. They just decided to quit tithing. I'm thankful for faithful people who stay by the stuff through thick and thin. And that helps us not only maintain our local facility, but it helps us to maintain the situation with COVID with the missionaries. So we're through that. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in hearts today. As I shared with you over the week, it's been a good week. Having the different families in, the Javed family, then Michael and Beverly Charles, and then Tim and Tina Travis and the five girls, and the little Javed girls, you know, we were able to give them gifts. And after the service the other night, Mrs. Javed said, "This is the first time I've ever received a love offering from a church." And so again, we get to be a blessing to others. But it's only because of faithful people. And if you look at the work of the Lord through history, it's always been the case. It's faithful people who stay by the stuff. So let's be faithful as we listen to the message. Again, it's been a good week. It's been a special privilege for me to have some fellowship with Brother Seth Richards. I've known him since he was 17 years old. He's no longer 17. And we celebrated his 50th birthday Wednesday night. And he and I went and worked out yesterday. First time I've worked out in a year. And also, let me say this while I'm on this subject. Wednesday, I went to the heart surgeon, and he gave me a clean bill of health. And I didn't want to take away from the missions conference through the week to say anything about it. But again, yesterday was the first time I went to work out. Worked out for a couple hours. I feel good today. And I'm very, very thankful also that Seth and I could do that together. Most of the time we were apart. But then we had plenty of time to share some other stuff about the future and what God has in store, you know, in each of our lives. So Seth, come and share with us about faith promise. And, you know, somewhere around quarter till, we'll take care of the faith promise cards and so on.
Amen. All right. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time here, the week here, getting to know some of you guys and getting to know some of you more. And also, I always have a good time with Preacher and his wife. And just iron sharpeneth iron. And being able to discuss some biblical things, also just to get some safety in the multitude of counselors and to be able to bounce some things off of his mind and off of his experience in the ministry. And I'm thankful, very, very thankful for men that God has put in my life to be an encouragement and also just to be a friend. And I'm reminded sometimes, I'll preach and teach the young people sometimes, the verse in Proverbs that says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful the kisses of an enemy." And sometimes, brother, I don't think Brother Adams has had to do that this week, and maybe, you know, give me some tough love or anything like that. But probably in college, he probably had to. And those are the times sometimes we don't like to remember so well. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, if you've done any preaching on Faith Promise Missions Giving or heard preaching, maybe you remember it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I was really just seeking the Lord what he would have me to teach and preach on. There's so much, and but we practice, just like you guys practice, a program that we call Faith Promise Missions Giving. Faith Promise Missions Giving. I was thinking about it this way, and I'll introduce it just this way. I've been asked numerous times to preach at colleges, at Bible colleges. Some colleges are under the auspices and authority of a local church, and some aren't. Okay? Some aren't. And if I've always determined, of course, like any preacher should, that if you go to a college to preach, if they ask me to preach on a subject or this or that, that would be fine. And if it's biblical, and I'd give a biblical perspective of it. But if they just ask me to preach, I'll preach whatever the Lord lays on my heart to preach. And even if I was at a college that wasn't under the auspices or authority of a local church, I would still, if God laid that on my heart to preach those kind of things, I would still preach it. Why? Because it's biblical. Because it's biblical. And it is very important to note and to see, and I think that's what the Lord has laid on my heart to teach this morning, that which we do, and that's which you have done in times past and even to this day, continue therein because it is right and it is biblical. And we'll look at that, and we'll look at some of the points. Now, some people, you know, might say, well, is that such a big deal if a college, you know, is really under the authority of a local church? Well, I can show you in the Word of God that things should be, and that the Bible teaches that it should be, and things that aren't under a local church really aren't really biblical. You know, that's extra biblical things, we could say. And somebody might look at you and maybe look at me, and I've taught on things like this. One man, I'll just share this with you. One man, we had our first funeral in Ingolstadt. And after we had a lot of people that were from other churches and that knew this man from our church. And one of them was a preacher. Actually, there were a couple of preachers there. But one of them was a preacher, and he said, "Can I have your sermon?" And so I said, sure. I just gave him my sermon, you know. And he said, next Sunday I'll be at your church. And he brought me a wooden bowl made out of cherry wood. And boy, he thought this was great. And he thought how I preached was great and everything. And he asked me then afterwards, he said, "Would you come and preach at our church?" And I said, "Well, let me ask you this, and I'll just make this statement. I don't preach at anything that's ecumenical." Now, you might understand what that is or not. I don't have time to really explain that. But I said, I don't go or preach anywhere that it's ecumenical. And that big part of it is that it's simply not a church. They're not a church. For example, they practice adult baptism, but they'll accept infant baptism to their membership. For example. Okay? That's just one thing. All right? And so when I said that, he just kind of dropped his head, and he knew I wouldn't come. But I told him, "But you can come here anytime and hear the Word of God. I preach here 3 times a week. you can hear the Word of God here." Yeah. And somebody might say, "Well, preacher, do you have to be so exact? Do you have to be so stern? Do you have to..." Well, let me illustrate it this way. What's the difference between a family or a couple living together that's married and a couple living together that's not married? You know what really is the difference? One's biblical and one's not. Now there you might say, oh, I got a big problem with this, and boy, there's a big difference there. Now why can we identify it there and not in other areas of life or ministry? When something is under the auspices and under the authority of a local church. Now, we will look at a church, and probably the first church, how they practiced faith, promise, missions, giving through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. We'll just jump in, and then we'll go from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look with me in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now let me just say this just real quickly. It talks about the churches, plural, of Macedonia. This idea, and I know your pastor has taught this probably, this idea of a universal church is foreign to the Word of God. It's churches, and they're local, and they're assembled at one place, visible, and there are only churches on the face of the earth, not a universal church. And I don't even, boy, you get me started on that, I'll just start preaching on that, and we'll never get done today, okay? So I'm not going to even go into that. But it says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that in and of itself really there seems to be in conflict, that they had this great joy but great poverty. And even though it's in the carnal mind a conflict and it seems to not be able to fit together, in the spiritual mind and through the Word of God we can understand how those things actually fit and work together. And we'll actually, if the Lord allows, preach that and teach that this morning. Look with me further. Let's just read, and then I'll start, okay? It's hard for me to do that sometimes. Verse 3. For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Watch in verse 15. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. And again, that would be contradictory to the natural mind, to the carnal mind. But not according to the Word of God and not according to the spiritual mind. Verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care unto the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And verse 18. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Okay? And again, I wanted to get the point across at the very beginning that this was the grace through these churches that had abounded to them as a gift. And we, as watch, the churches never ceases to exist, and the gates of hell have not prevailed against God's Christ church until this day. And the Bible says we should also abound in this grace also. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. Lord, I don't know everybody here. I know very few. But Lord, you do know. And you know where everybody is in their walk with you and in their maturity with you, Lord. But I do pray that we might go on to perfection, that we might realize we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And we hear that over and over, that we should never stand still, but always seeking to follow you and to learn of you and to put you on and to put ourselves off. And Lord, that might be a time where somebody might grow, that maybe the whole church might grow, no matter where they are. And Lord, that we might learn to trust you more, to follow you closer. Lord, that we might to know your will and to seek your perfect will more and more in our lives. Lord, that you might speak to every heart. I can't do that, but you can, and through your Spirit. You can speak to every heart, no matter where or how far or how little they are along in their spiritual life. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor for it. Lord, get honor to yourself. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There's two verses I'd like to call to your attention, just real quickly. And it's interesting to me. Somebody asked me one time, he said, I had mentioned some things about what I believe, and I know you're a preacher, and I know what you guys believe, and we take doctrine, by the way, very, very seriously. We do. We do. We're not going to, and one man asked me, he said, are you like a fundamental, old-time Baptist church? Are you a loving Baptist church? Now, you got to wonder about this. No, seriously. And I'm thinking in my mind, why do you have to be one or the other? Now, listen. And this, I'll refer to the verse that I already mentioned. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Especially young people sometimes, if you don't allow them to do everything they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it, they sometimes interpret it as, you're against them and you don't love them. And it's hard sometimes as a young person to distinguish between friend and enemy. I remember one teacher, Nancy was hard on me. She would push me. And I thought, she's the enemy. And I later on found out, no, she wouldn't just let me get by because she knew I was further and I could do more than the others in that class. She wanted me to excel. And later on, I realized she was a friend, not an enemy. And maybe teachers that let me do anything I wanted to, and everything was okay, and everything, I realized at some point, you know, they didn't really help me. They didn't push me the way they could have, should have, and I'm now worse off than I would have been if they had pushed me, and I realized, you know, really they were more the adversary and the enemy than a friend. Yeah. And I know there's people out there that, listen, you preach on hell, and you start saying things like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and you start to lay down. I've noticed this. Have you noticed this? That as long as I preach, you ought to hate sin. You ought to stay away from sin. I preach stuff like this. When hating sin, make sure first you hate your own sin. I preach stuff like that all the time. But I've noticed, if I'm just in general preacher, everybody's like, yeah, amen. But you start to name them, and then people are like, I didn't come for this. Man, it seems like, oh man, I'm looking around. One guy, I remember, he's talking to another member, and I'll say it, it's okay. He said, do you notice how many times preacher preaches against pornography? And the other man said, he doesn't really. He does sometimes, but he doesn't. But you know why it hit him? You know why I kept on smacking him in the face? Sure, you know why. Because he had a problem with it. And you know, every time, it seemed like every time I got up, that's what I would preach to him. And it's probably the Holy Spirit smacking him and pounding him every time I preached, even if I didn't name it. But I was preaching against sin. You know, that's a lot of times, oftentimes how it is. But listen to this. Just listen. And I got the verses here. Matthew 23:23. Listen to this. "One of you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay the tithe and mint, and anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." That's what the Bible says. Luke 11:42. "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe the mint, rue, and all the manner of herbs, and pass over the judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And he's calling them out, and he says, look, you got the things that you want to hold to and the laws that you want to do and all this you're holding on to. But watch. But to love your neighbor, to justify yourself, you want to determine, for example, who is your neighbor. Yeah, not just everybody. And he's saying, look, and those were even weightier matters, he said. Now, I say all this, and I quote that scripture just to say this. That, yes, I do major on doctrine, and we preach doctrine, and we hammer doctrine, but watch, but I have to preach the love of God. I have to preach soul winning. And really, what does it help us if you can stand right before me and give a biblical lesson on the local church and all that, but you've never actually showed somebody else the love of God and helped them find God? What good is that? What does it profit? And that's why we have this love so amazing. Basically, Nicodemus comes, and that's John chapter 3. And basically, God says, look, Nicodemus, you know all these things about the Word of God and everything, but you really don't know anything about the love of God. And that's how John 3:16 comes about, actually. And they really didn't. And they really didn't. So I say that to say this, that we have to preach the whole counsel of God, and we have to preach the love of God. And how is this love of God, watch, demonstrated? How's it demonstrated? First thing I want you to see is this. Look in verse 5. And we'll see how far we get, but look in verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now, I'll be the first, or I want to also say this, that he says that you excel or abound in this grace also. And when we, watch, when we're in a church, and the church, the Great Commission is, first of all, to teach them what? Teach them about salvation. Teach them how to get saved. Okay? Then to baptize. That's the first step of obedience. And then to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay? So we see a progression. And it says that they might watch, that he might, or that they might also do and perform this grace also. So, and he's teaching this, and the Bible's showing us this, that evidently they hadn't done this before, but that they needed to add this to their lives. Add this. You know, people get saved in a church, and then they hear, well, you need to come to church. And they're like, always? Well, yeah. And you know, they kind of watch. They kind of, and they watch. And then they get their balance and they get stable. And then you teach them, you know, God wants you to actually do things in the church. And you work through your church, and maybe God would have you to teach or this. And they're like, teach? I don't want to talk to anybody. And boy, they're like, and then they're like all over the place. And you just say, well, just come in. Just listen to the teacher. And they start to learn that, and boy, and watch. And then the tithe belongs to the Lord. And they're like, whoa, and they're shaky, and they learn to do that. And there's a progression. The steps of a good man, plural, are ordered by the Lord in Psalms chapter 37. If you plateau, then you're not doing what the Lord would have you to do. Because we should always be going forward. And Paul said, look, you still need milk when you should actually need solid food. And I got to go back and teach you things you ought to actually already know. But this is something, and maybe you're here, you're not even a member. This is actually for the members of the church. And we're not trying to twist anybody's arm. We're not trying to, the cards that we fill out, you don't put a name on it. And it's between you and God, what He would lay on your heart to give for the next year. And that's how we do this program, for the next year. Whether it be weekly, whether it be monthly, it's between you and the Lord. Okay? And also, it says here in the text, let me just look it up real quickly. Look in verse 12. I'll just give you some practical things. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now listen, they were in great poverty. They didn't have much. But what they did have, they gave. God doesn't expect us to give something we don't have or what He hasn't given us. The widow of Zarephath, when Elijah comes, she said, well, all I got is a little meal, I'm thinking of the German word, a little meal, and a little oil, that's all I got. And me and my son, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. That's it. And he said, give it to me. And he said, give it to me first. See, he already knew, God will provide. Elijah was living by faith. He knew, he trusted God. You know, and she gave what she had. Here comes the boy. Jesus is going to feed what? The multitudes, 5,000. What does he have? 2 fishes, 5 loaves. Doesn't have much, but what he gave, he had. Or what he had, he gave. God, listen, if you put down on the card $1 million a week, we probably won't count that card. Unless you're a billionaire, and then we'll count it, okay. But he's not going to ask you to do something you cannot do, or He hasn't enabled you to do. He doesn't do that. But a lot of times it's just, we could do it. I'll preach stuff like this, preacher. I'll say this, and I'm just blunt. Faith Promise Missions is about giving money. Now, I believe this, sometimes the easiest thing to do is to give money instead of giving of your sweat and of your time and of your blood. But very simply this, can you go to Germany? Well, you could, but you probably won't. And you can't go into all the countries of all the world. And that's why we have a program to send missionaries to go do where you'll never be, to do what you can't do there. That's why we do that. That's why we give money. And really, that's the easiest thing to do. Now, you have some churches you've started, and listen, you can and you should go help them if they need help, building and building and that and this and everything, not just to give money. Yeah, no, I'm serious. But it's about giving finances when we talk about foreign missions and so forth, and people have money. You're sitting here and you drove a car in and you had gas to put in. I know you got money. If your TV breaks, next week you'll have another TV. I know you got money. I know they got money, preacher. But you have money for what you want to have money for. That's the key. God doesn't really need your money. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, the Bible says. He has all the money He wants to have. The whole world is His, the Bible says. But what He wants to have is your heart. There is not an area of your life that He doesn't want to control, by the way. And where our riches are, there is our heart also. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And what interests us and what we want to do, we have money to do it. Let's just be honest with each other. You might never say amen to that or want to shake your head, but you know it's true. You know it's true. Now, first of all, before I get ahead of myself, man, I'm going all over the place. First of all, verse 5, watch. And this they did, not as we hoped for, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And unto us, by the will of God. That was the will of God that you give. Now watch. I preached the other day. You breathe His air. You live in His time. He gave you existence and He can take you out anytime. You cannot say, I tell you what, I exist because I want to exist. You won't have another heartbeat or another draw of breath unless He gives it to you. That's absolutely right. And even if you don't acknowledge that or even believe in God, that's absolutely true. One day you'll know. One day you'll know. But He doesn't, watch, He doesn't make you, but He wants you to give first of yourself. Does He have you? Does He own you? That's a good question. I want to show you something, hold something here. Go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, I want to show you something. Proverbs chapter 31. What do you think of when I say Proverbs 31? The virtuous woman. You think of the mother teaching her son who is a king, right? Look in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that is, that his mother taught him. Now watch, I want you to see something. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Watch, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Now watch. She's teaching him, let me ask you this, is she teaching him about how to treat others? Is she teaching him, you know what the first part is? The first part is this, you better learn to control yourself, son. Let me put it this way, then she says, watch, in verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Watch. So then she says, look, you be a just towards those on the outside and you rule them justly. But watch. Basically what she's teaching me is this. You got to be king of yourself first before you can be king of others. You can't control others if you can't control yourself. That's what she's teaching him. Well, I tell you what, we need to be in missions. We need to have these programs. We need to have this. Well, let me ask you this. Have you first given yourself to the Lord? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But does He own you? That's the question first. Does He own you? Have you ever surrendered? Have you ever given yourself? Can you honestly say, whatsoever thou willest, whatsoever you want me to do, Lord. Now watch, if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I tell you what, I'll do this and I'll do that, but I'll never go to a foreign field. I'll never do this. We all should be willing to do whatever the Lord would have us to do. And I really believe, preacher, that God probably, if the rapture isn't tomorrow or very shortly, that God will call people out of this church to go to the foreign field. Or to start churches here in America. I really believe that. You know, I believe that. That's what He's done since He actually gave us the commandment to go out. He's done that all this time. Why would He quit now? And He hasn't, and He won't until He comes and takes us out of this world. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it's going to stop. I don't see anywhere. You know, I teach young preachers sometimes. I say, if you want the people in the church to be here, listen, you're going to have to be here. They follow you. Paul said to follow my faith as I follow Christ. And I want to be able to say that to every person there in the church in Ingolstadt, that they can follow my faith as I follow Christ. But watch, listen, if they're following me, they'll be somewhere behind me. They'll be somewhere behind me. Do you understand that? You know, parents sometimes tell kids, and maybe they don't say it, but they actually live it. They say, do as I say, don't do as I do. You've heard that. And that, and you know, that's not right. Now, listen, we say, yeah, that's not right. But do we make that statement by the life that we live? That's the question. It's one thing to say it with our lips, but do we actually live it? Where we can actually tell our children, if I never gave you instruction, just do what I do. That's right. A young couple, I said, you see your mom and dad over there? They're at church every time the doors are open. Now you're having kids. Do you want to know them to know that that is right? And I had to get on to them a little bit because they don't come every time the doors are open, preacher. And I said, if your kids want to learn that, like you learned that from your parents, and you know that's right, you better step up and you better give the example. You better give yourself, friend. Now listen, Faith Promise Missions is something you learn, something you grow in. Grow in this grace also. Perform it. Do it, the Bible says. I don't have time to go through all the verses again. But watch. But these young people in this church ought to learn from your example. You don't have to tell them how much you're giving. That's not even biblical. Don't let your right hand do what your left hand's doing or the other way around. Listen, you don't go proclaiming what you give, but it will be evident if you give and you give your life and you give your time. It will be evident. You had better be a good example for these young people. If we expect them to be what we are, we better give our lives to the Lord. Amen. I'll just give you a real short. I could go there, but we're not going to go there. I'll just give you a little. It's in 1 Kings chapter 20. This is so good. Watch. I'll just tell you the story. Ben-Hadad comes against Israel. The king of Israel is Ahab. Ahab's a bad king. So the servants of Ben-Hadad come and they say, look, this is what we want. We want the gold, the silver, the princes, the white. We want this. And he gives a list of things he wants, okay? And then Ahab says this, all that I have and all that is mine is thine. That's basically what he says. That's in my own words, but he says, everything I have is thine. And I thought to myself, you knucklehead. They wanted four or five things and you said you can have it all. And I think they go back and they go, you know what? You know what? Ben-Hadad, you know what? We wanted four or five things. He said, you can have it all. He said, you know what? You know what they do then? This is what he says. He said, go and look, and whatsoever is precious in their eyes, you take. That's what he says. Basically, take whatever you want. Whatever they think is valuable, boom, you take it. And then Ahab goes, foul, foul, that's not right. And they don't want to do it. And I think, you knucklehead, you don't understand the principle of surrender. You see, when devil Ben-Hadad comes in, basically he comes for all. And when you let the devil into your life and the adversarial things into your life, you start to go away from God. How far do you think the devil will go? You give him a finger, he'll take the hand. You give him the hand, he'll take the arm. He'll destroy all of it. How much would he have destroyed Job? If God hadn't said, you can't take his life, he'd have taken his life. He'd have sifted him like wheat, just like he wanted to do Simon Peter. Is that not correct? You betcha he would have. You bet. He comes for all. Now watch. This is what I want you to understand. But when Christ comes into our life, does he just come for this and that? No, he comes for all. Like I said, there's not an aspect or an area of your life he's not... He's not interested in controlling. To be filled with the Holy Ghost, not to be filled with wine, and it's a matter of control. Oh, preacher wants all our money. No, I don't want all your money. Preacher wants God to have all our money. Okay, now I got it right. No, but I do want God to control all your money. I've told the church in English that I don't want to be your dictator. I don't want to be your king. I want God to be your king. He's put me here to teach you the ways of God, to teach you the mind of God, to teach you the word of God. That's what he's put me here. You see, to follow this biblical pattern of giving ourselves first and then understanding that everything I have and everything I own is God, then watch, then it's very easy to give God whatever he wants. I'll illustrate it this way. I've got a man in the church. His name is Ulrich Poitz. He's in the top management of Audi. In a city of 120,000, we got 43,000 people that work for Audi. That's over a third of the people of that city. He's in the top management. Now, and I always say this. I say, a preacher would come and I'll say, hey, let's go get a steak. And Brother Adams is like, yeah, let's go get a steak. Yes. And I say, I'm buying. He's like, no, you don't have to buy. And I say, don't worry, I got Ulrich's credit card. We'll make Ulrich pay. It's that black, limitless, you know what I mean? We'll just take Ulrich's money. Now watch. When I'm spending Ulrich's money, it's easy to spend. Nothing. I'm liberal. I'm generous with Ulrich's money. Not hard at all. You see, you say, here's the reason why you have such a problem. Because you think it's yours. But if you realize, God could take it away. You know what's so sad? This is what's sometimes really sad. Not this is hard, but this is what's sad. Sometimes people use their children for excuse not to come to church when they're small or things like that. I've seen it done, preacher. And this, and their family and everything. And I think to myself, I oftentimes don't say it. I don't think I've ever said it. But I think to myself, God could take those children if he wanted to. And take your excuse. Do you understand that? And whatever excuse you have, he could take that away. How'd you like that? Because you need to realize this. Whatever you are and whatever you have, it's good. And if it's perfect, the Bible says, it cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Comes from him. And then when you realize that, you know, it's not really hard to give somebody back what's actually theirs. And he lets you keep a lot of it and use it and enjoy it. Praise the Lord. I remember one time, time's running out. I haven't preached half the stuff I got, but that's okay. The Lord knows. I remember one time, there was a lady in church in El Paso, Texas. Ulrich had come to visit me and I was on deputation. And I think we went up to Bryce Canyon. And so we took a few days off and took a little vacation. And a lady came into the preacher there at that time and she said, I got a problem. Seth is using missions money for a vacation. Yeah, can you believe it? You're shocked, I know. I can tell. And watch. And he said, now listen, there's money that he gets that is allocated for the ministry and this, but then he said a part of it is his salary. And if he buys, and he, if he spends all on bubble gum, he said, I don't care. Listen, God actually gives you money, and sometimes we don't even spend it that wisely. And he lets you do it. He lets you enjoy it. Sometimes on things that won't even, listen, you got a nice bike, a nice car, but that's great, and I love comfort and all that stuff, but those things probably won't count for eternity. Would you agree with me? And he lets you enjoy those things too. But watch. But the things that really do matter, we ought not forget. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, you did right over here, and that was good, and you should have done that, and you did it. That was right. But you shouldn't have left off from there. And let me ask you, are you doing the most important thing? Are you actually giving yourself unto the Lord? Here's what's kind of sad. Most churches have their life carried by the few, not the many. I'll say that again. And I don't know this church necessarily, but I just say most churches are carried by the few, not by the many. But you know what Faith Promise Missions Giving should be about? Is everybody participating and everybody giving themselves unto the Lord and being able to say, I did what the Lord wrote on my heart and told me to do. And I am so thankful that my parents raised me in a godly home, that when I was a little kid, I just only had $5 a week or whatever, less, actually half of $5, marks. But they taught me, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. And He can multiply it. He can do whatever He wants to with it. He can take two little fishes and five loaves, and He can feed 5,000. He can, hey, you just do what God would have you to do and write on your heart. And allow God to grow. Do it by faith that the Lord will perform it. That the Lord will perform it. Well, Seth Richards, I sure hope he's performing out there. I can't do anything unless he enables me to do it. I can't do anything. But I can do this. I can take the Word of God and preach the gospel, which is the power of God. Which, watch, transforms people. They go from death unto life. That's the power of God. Praise the Lord. Changes lives. Both for here and eternity. And you can be a part of that. You can have a part of that. I'm almost done. I'm done. But watch. I'll end with this. I've got a lot and I had three endings. I'll end with this. I almost ended with that poem, Opportunity. Remember that? And have you ever told them that? Okay, probably. Okay. Anyway. That's another time, okay? Remember the rich young ruler? Let me ask you this, just real quick. Do you love God? People are like, yeah, I wouldn't be here if I didn't love God. Okay. Now watch, the rich young ruler. Sir, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, what callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Now watch, this is what we need to get. It's about righteousness, and it's about being good. It's about self-righteousness. Then Jesus says this, have you kept the commandments? He said, I kept them from my youth. But Jesus, watch, names a couple of those commandments. Now watch, this is one day I notice this, but he does not name any commandments. The first four are given towards God and the others are given towards man in the Ten Commandments. He only gives those that are pertaining to man. Read it again, watch. He only says, those pertaining to man. We could also classify them into two great commandments. And he says, do you love your neighbor as yourself? I love other people. I've treated other people right. That's what he says. What do you think if Jesus said, do you love God? What do you think he would have said? Yes, of course, do I love God. Please. Jesus asks that question in another way. He goes, go and sell all that you have. And he loved his riches more than God. He couldn't do it. It was in competition with God. I'll just say this. If there's need that the gospel be proclaimed and the seed be given out into the world, that men and women, boys and girls be saved, let me ask you this. Do you love God? You say, I love God. Don't ever say I don't love God. Well, let me ask you this. When he says to give, can you give? Well, that's a different thing. It's really not. It's really not. Because you can give without loving. You've heard this before. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And you can't love God without doing His commandments. And you can't love God and then say, I hate my brother and I hate other people. That's what the Bible said. Because if you don't love others, don't God says, don't tell me you love me. If the love of God constrains your heart, you have to go. You have to tell. You have to be a soul winner. Watch. And you have to give. when the need is there, that missionaries are sent across this world. And this is the plan that God has given to churches and to our church here, to promise Him by faith what God would lay on your heart to give in this next year towards faith, promise, missions giving.